As I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, God has laid it on my heart to preach about what's so important, and that is this upcoming election and the major issues that our nation faces in this great hour of trauma and drama. And what God is sharing with us from His Word is that this goes far beyond the symbols of the elephant or the donkey. It goes far beyond a man or a woman, far beyond being a Democrat or a Republican. It gets right down to the very core of the issues we face. And the issues we face, friends, really boils down to God's values or a man's values. Now, what does the Bible have to say about God's values and man's values? Well, when it comes to man's values, the Bible is very clear. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And this upcoming election at its very core is a choice, as I said, between God's way and man's way. This is the real issue. And I believe that the freedom and the future and the liberty of America is at stake. And therefore, we must determine which candidate lines up closer to God and His Word, and which candidate is way away from God and His Word. Now, we've spoken to you about Israel and the promise of God's blessing. And then we talked up, which is the first great issue, and then we spoke on abortion. And I found it very interesting that right after I preached on abortion, the very same week, we had abortion trailers set up at one of the conventions. That's the second great issue. But there's another issue. And that is the economy, because the economy affects our freedom. It affects you, and it affects me. The economy is the third great issue in the upcoming election, and I want you to know I am not an economist. So y'all pray for me. But I have studied God's Word, and I'm going to speak to you from God's Word, what God has to say. But what we need to understand is we're living at a time when we're either going to cast our vote for either free enterprise or for socialism. And I want you to find in your Bibles this morning, Exodus, that's the second book in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 18, and you'll be finding verse 17. And when you get there, would you please stand as we honor God with the reading of His Word this morning. You see, what Moses faced in his day, we face in our day. And Moses was having an issue, if you will. How many of you out there this morning are having issues? Just raise your hand. I got some issues. Pastor, pray for me. I got issues. Well, Moses is having an issue, if you will. You see, the whole thing is too big for him. And he's trying to carry it all himself. And I just want you to know, and this is free this morning, Jesus works 24/7, so you don't have to. And He is more than able to carry all your issues if you'll just cast those issues upon Him, for He cares for you. So that's free this morning. Now let's get back to this. Moses is having issues. Exodus 18:17, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is, say this with me, not good. Thou wilt surely, say this with me, wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing, say this with me, is too heavy for thee. Thou art, say this with me, not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people, say this with me, able men, such as, say this with me, fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh, Father God, as we come to you in prayer this morning, Lord, you know full well that I am not an economist. So it seems absolutely ridiculous for me to try to preach on the economy, but Father, you have given me this message this morning because it comes from your word. And Lord, so from your word this morning, I pray for we, the people, that we would have an ear to hear, that we might glean, that we might come to know the truth that will keep us free, the truth that will set us free. And Lord, I am reminded in your word that Jesus taught, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Oh Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word this morning. May it touch our hearts. Give us wisdom, because, Lord, you've asked us to handle a very important responsibility, and that is to cast a vote. Lord, help us to be well-informed as we cast our vote for the future of our nation, for the future of our liberties. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. As we begin, I'm reminded of a quote from Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill said, "For a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle." I think you will agree that America is in great need of biblical correction. And if I think, friends, as we said, Moses needed help. He needed some wise counsel. And his father-in-law gave him some wise counsel. And what we want to focus on this morning is verse 21 of our text, because the underlying truth here is the issue of covetousness, a thing that God hates. So verse 21 says, Moses was to choose men of truth who hated what God hates. And that's how we are to choose our leaders. That's how you and I are to be as Christian citizens in the society in which we live. We're not to embrace the things that God hates. We're to hate what God hates. We're to love what God loves. After all, God has called us to be the salt and light of the world. And if we look just like the world, how is the world going to see their need for Jesus Christ? You see, this thing is so entwined. How many of you would agree with me today that this world needs Jesus Christ? How many of you would agree that men need to be saved, that they need to confess their sin, they need to repent of their sin, and they need to come to salvation in the only one who can set them free from sin, and that is Jesus Christ? Do you agree with that? Amen. And so if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, boy, now is the time. You need to get saved, and you need to get saved today. Listen, this thing is so entwined. Moses was to choose men of truth. Well, here's what I know. The Bible is truth. See, all I got is a man's opinion. That ain't worth much. And you all got an opinion too. And guess what? It ain't worth much. But here we have the truth. We have the Word of God. And what God says is true. Because God does what God says. Now let me ask you a question. Do you always do what you say? You know the answer to that. And while I like to say I always do what I say, I have to confess my sin too. I don't always do what I say. How many of you would say, I wish that I would do what I say when I say I'm going to do something? Amen? Oh, this battle of the body of flesh. Amen? Whew. Well, anyway, men of truth who hate what God hates. And the thing that God hates, one of the things that God hates is covetousness. Well, there's a few, let's call them principles this morning we need to know. The first thing you need to know is that any politician who will take your life will take your liberty. And second, we hear a lot today about redistribution. Well, what is it? Redistribution is taking your wealth and giving it and rewarding people for doing nothing. And then third, the greater the socialism, the greater the poverty, and the Bible teaches that. And then the greater the freedom, and the Bible teaches freedom. Jesus came to set us free. And listen, the greater the freedom, liberty equals greater wealth. And greater government equals greater poverty. And fourth, and most important of all, is that error hates truth. Because truth reveals error. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the Bible says the end thereof is death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death, and so that's the truth. Man's error is that he thinks he knows better than God. Well, let me tell you something. You do not know better than God, nor do I know better than God. God knows. Say that with me. God knows. Amen? And so one candidate has an agenda that is opposed to all that God says is true. And one more thing about error is that it seeks to prevent the truth from being heard. Well, friend, in this world today where you work, where you go to the market among your friends, if God has called you to be salt and light, what are you to be talking to your friends about? You're to be speaking truth, God's truth. We're to tell people about Jesus. We're to tell people about the truth about Jesus. We're to tell people, listen, I know you're in a tough place. I know you don't know what to do, and I don't know what to do for you either, but there is one who can help you. His name is Jesus, and he can set you free. Hallelujah! God can set you free this morning. Now, I've entitled this message God's Way or Man's Way because that is the essential question our vote is going to answer. One candidate, though far from perfect, is closer to God's way than man's way, but essentially, like Moses before us, we are to choose men of truth. Men of truth. And thus we select our political leaders based on two criteria: integrity and economics, believe it or not. That means in America we are empowered with the privilege of electing our political leaders. The right was given and established by our founding fathers, who received their wisdom from God's word. This means also that we, the people, are ultimately accountable for the success or failure, the wealth or poverty of our nation. Therefore, if we hope to pass to future generations what you and I grew up in, a free country with its riches and power intact, we must choose leaders who will protect freedom and build prosperity. One candidate has a proven track record of when it comes to that, and the other doesn't. And how many of you are better off than you were 4 years ago? You see, every election brings that question, doesn't it? Every 4 years, we in America have the opportunity to elect a president. So every 4 years, we can ask that question. Based on the track record, am I better off than I was 4 years ago? And are we better as a nation, or are we worse as a nation under government control? Here's another principle for us to consider. The higher the taxes, the greater the government's control. And the impact that it has on us is simply this: the more money that the government takes away from you through taxes, the more limited become your individual choices. Thomas Jefferson said, "Freedom is having choices. Friends, when the government takes your money through increased taxes, it reduces your choices and thereby reduces your freedom. One candidate is going to raise our taxes even more, thereby reducing and taking away more of our freedoms. Now, the labels free enterprise and socialism merely identify whether or not an individual is in support of more or less freedom. One candidate desires to take our freedom, and one candidate has a proven track record of honoring America's freedom. One candidate fights for America, America first, and by putting America first, he works for our liberty, and the other doesn't. You don't need me to tell you which one they are, because the public record is out there. Now let's consider, first of all, when it comes to our economy, the political yardstick. If I can get this back up out of here. I needed a thing for you to look at today. And I tried to find the biggest yardstick I could find. And as you look at this yardstick, picture, if you will, to your left, not mine, to your left, all the way to the left, government control. On the left is government control of the tools of production, where the government controls the businesses. What has our government done with our businesses? It sent our businesses overseas. Under this present administration, America's tools of production have been sent overseas, and we are forced to pay higher taxes, higher costs for goods that could be manufactured right here in America. How many of you are enjoying going to the grocery store and getting 10 items that cost you twice as much? How many of you are enjoying going to the grocery store and you can't find what you want because it's not there? You know, how many of you are enjoying having less? And you see, when we're forced to pay higher costs and higher taxes for good that can be manufactured right here in America, we're in trouble. And since one candidate desires to continue the said policies, we are going to have more and more of our liberty, our choices taken from us. And then on the far right of this ruler, picture complete freedom. The government puts America first. You can own anything you want to and earn anything you want to earn if you work for it. You see, if you don't work for it, you shouldn't expect to get it. But if you work for it, you ought to get it. You're the one who's putting in the labor. And so you can own anything you want. You can have as much as you want. You can earn as much as you want because you own the tools of production. And you get to keep it all. And no one is going to redistribute it to those who have not worked for it, to those who do nothing to earn it. You get to keep what you've worked for. Now picture on this yardstick all of the various governments throughout the world. Those all the way out to the left are socialist. In countries such as North Korea and Vietnam, the government controls everything. It is not a coincidence that all of the countries on the far left are among the poorest countries in the world. And as we move back over toward the right, the wealth of nations increases. What are we learning and seeing here? The more freedom citizens have from government control, the greater the wealth of the nations. And since a nation is made up of people, just like a church, this church is made up of you and me, and so is a nation. And since a nation is made up of people, it means the greater the wealth the nation's people have. Let me see if I can illustrate this. Let's say Brother George over here has a pig. And he wakes up one morning and he decides to sell his pig. And he finds a willing buyer because Pastor B's eyes get about this big. And he's thinking of all the ham and all the bacon that he can feed Brother Juddy. And he's thinking, I can feed my family. And so the two of them agree on a price. and Pastor B buys the hog George decided to sell, and all of it is done without government official being involved. Friends, this transaction is free enterprise. Free enterprise is free of government interference. Of course, we all know that very few transactions are completely independent of the government. After all, government makes money and the exchange works more smoothly. So perfect free enterprise is rare. Now, the best rule of thumb to judge where a nation falls on the political yardstick is simply to look at its overall tax rate. And the question is, how much of all that is being produced in a country is taken by the government? And as we look at the yardstick, those on the far left take the most, and those on the far right take the least. Well, did you know that up until the 1950s, America was at the 20% mark, meaning that we the people put 80% of what we made into and what we earned into our pocket. But you contrast this today where America is at the 50% mark of everything we earn going back into our government pocket. While we are on the side of freedom, we have spent the last several decades moving closer and closer to socialism. What does all of this mean? It just simply means that over the course of every election, you and I simply do this. We decide whether or not to move the scale towards tyranny or and government control or towards free enterprise. We all know the story of the frog in the pot. As the story goes, if you put the frog into a pot of boiling water, it'll immediately jump out. However, if you place the same frog in a pot of room temperature water and then place that pot over a flame, the frog will contentedly sit in the pot and just boil to death. The moral of the story? The frog only recognized the threat to its survival if the threat was violently abrupt. It's no different from you and I and the freedom we enjoy as Americans. It is for this reason, when you study American history that was founded on the Bible, when you study what was founded on the Bible, the framers of our Constitution warned of discrete threats to our liberties. I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradually and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. Those were the words of James Madison at the 1788 Virginia Ratification Convention. Such is the threat we face today in a free country such as ours. The gradual and silent encroachment to our liberties, the ever-warming water comes in the form of taxes. How does it happen? Let's suppose that after a full week's work, and Charlotte did a wonderful illustration this morning, you are given your just pay. Well, let's say you earned $100. Now, there are only two people who can take what you've earned from you. The first is a criminal. A criminal may have a gun and take some or all of your money, thereby reducing your choices as to how you could have used that $100. He's taken away your freedoms. The second is the government. And the government also has a gun and can take your money away from you. And when the government takes your money away from you, it infringes upon your freedom and your freedom of choice. And the result is fewer choices, less freedom, and ultimately a lower standard of living. Brothers and sisters, our freedom determines our standard of living. The typical family in the 1950s consisted of a husband who went off to work every day and supported the family, and a wife who filled the vital role of homemaker. Typically, in today's world, it takes both of them working. And they're earning barely enough to make ends meet. And a woman tends to make less than a man. She generally contributes 40% to the household while he contributes 60%. Coincidentally, the tax rate, remember, is at 50% and going higher. As a result, a woman can work for an entire year, and at the end of the year, what is she going to have to show for all of her effort? In effect, she will have placed every penny she's earned into Uncle Sam's pocket. She will work an entire year to fund the many government programs which in their inception sound wonderful, but in their implementation require more taxes to make them work. Can I ask you a question? What happened to the church? If the church was being the church and we were doing what we ought to be doing, we wouldn't need all these government programs. Jesus said we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And then he also said we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the Bible, amen? Well, here's where the church went. The church forgot to be out in the community. The church saw needs that it didn't want to meet. And as a result, when the church, when God's people don't do what God's people are supposed to do, who's going to step in? Satan and his government. That's just fact of life, friends. So while the government programs sound good in their inception, it takes more of our freedoms to make them work. It naturally follows that whenever a politician uses the police powers of the state to take money away from you, you are left with fewer choices and a lower standard of living. Conversely, the more money that people are committed to keep, the greater amount of choices, the greater their freedom, and ultimately the higher standard of living. One government tilts toward the right of the political yardstick, conferring on its citizens the freedom of choice to increase their standard of living. One government tilts toward the left of the political yardstick, restricting its freedoms to choose a greater standard of living and, in fact, foisting upon us a lower standard of living. This election, what is it all about? It's about which system you and I prefer. You see, it is up to we the people to protect our liberties and our freedom by casting our vote for the system that allows us a higher standard of living. Again, the question comes, are we better off than we were 4 years ago? And this brings me to the last and final point on the economy, recognizing the label. Since our candidates do not walk around with signs that say free enterprise or in socialist on them, it's important that we learn to recognize a person's belief system through their words. Now, what did Jesus tell us? You shall know a Christian by their what? Fruit. We're to inspect the fruit. Matter of fact, we're commanded to be fruit inspectors. And Jesus also said that out of the abundance of our hearts, the mouth speaks. And what we're hoping to do is bring the Bible alive. You see, so many people have put the Bible in one place, and then they go on about trying to do life on their own, and it was never meant to be that way. As a child of God, God has given us His truth, and we're to take it with us wherever we go. We're to live it out. After all, did not the Bible teach, trust in the Lord with all your what, church? And lean not upon your own what, church? In all your ways acknowledge who, church? God. You see how this thing is all tied up in the Bible? Everything that we have learned growing up in the church, in the Bible, it all comes to fruition in our daily lives. You see, and so it's important that we learn to recognize a wolf, and it's important that we learn to recognize a shepherd. It's important that we know the difference, don't you think? After all, Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. And so it's important that we learn to recognize a person's belief system through their words. And you know, if you're a parent and you send your child to a public school, I hope you just don't blindly trust that that teacher in that public school is going to be teaching what you would teach. I mean, that's criminal, don't you think? Don't you think you as a parent ought to know what that teacher's about, what they stand for, what they're going to be teaching your child, what their belief system is? Because here you've spent years trying to raise your child as a Christian, and if you take your child to a public school and that teacher's not a Christian, guess what's happening? Your child's being led away from Christ rather than still be encouraged to know Christ. And that goes in any situation in life. We better know what people stand for. And so it's important we learn to recognize a person's belief system through their word. And my hope is now that you know the characteristics of each system, you will be able to recognize that this person thinks like me because he thinks like God. This person thinks like God. Or this person thinks not like God at all. They think in a way that is destructive to our nation. When you hear a politician promoting free housing, universal medical care, how many of you are happy with the insurance companies determining whether you can have a procedure or not? How many of you are happy with the insurance company determining whether you can have a life or not? How many of you are happy with an insurance company saying, well, we'll have to get back to you on that? How many of you are happy when you go to the doctor, you don't see a doctor, you see a practitioner, but you never see the person you need to see? And how many of you are happy with having to go to the doctor time and time and time again, and they keep putting it out there farther and farther and farther? You know, we've got some people who have been told they got to wait 6 months before they can see somebody. What's the insurance company doing? Listen, we don't have a health care system. We have a sick care system. That's what we have. But whenever you hear a politician promoting free housing and universal medical care, you will immediately know that they're inclined towards government control. When you hear a politician speak of lower taxes and warn against big government, you'll immediately know that person favors free enterprise. Thus, the left side always wants more taxes. The right side always wants less. The left believes government should have its hand in health care, utilities, and the operations of private industry. Fundamentally, the left believes the government is more capable than you are of making the right choice for your life. The right believes the opposite. They believe the government should only do what we the people cannot do for ourselves. You see, the right looks to the Declaration of Independence for the government's authority, and this is what the Declaration of Independence says: for this cause, governments are instituted upon men for the preservation of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The right, therefore, only supports taxation for activities that meet the standard, such as the development of a strong national defense to preserve our liberty. Which system do you prefer? Now, what did Jethro tell Moses? Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people men such as fear God, men of truth. That's what we need to be looking for. Do they fear God? Do their works speak of the truth that we can find in God's word? Calvin Coolidge said, and I quote, collecting more taxes than absolutely necessary is legalized robbery. When the government becomes irresponsible, friends, and exercising its power to tax, all of our personal liberties and freedoms are at risk. This upcoming election is about freedom and liberty, and the choice is ours. Will it be tyranny and government control? Or will it be free enterprise and less government control? The choice is ours. Do you know why? Because our founding fathers founded the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights on the Bible. What did Jesus give to every single person? A free what? Will. That means you get to choose. You have a free will. You can choose to believe in Jesus Christ, or you can choose not to believe in Jesus Christ and you will suffer the consequences. You get that right. You have the right. Jesus will not force himself on you. You have the right to choose to receive Jesus through the repentance of sin and have a home in heaven. But you also have the right to choose to reject Jesus. And you have the right to choose to go to that other place. That's your right, guaranteed in the Bible. God gave to every man a free will. And our founders recognized that. And they founded our nation on the principles that are found in God's Word. And our government says this, we the people. You see, our government works for us. And when you have a government that you don't like, you get to change it by your vote. We the people. Because the American Constitution upholds the liberty that Jesus spoke of at creation when he gave each and every one of us a free will. Well, God's way or man's way? Godly values or the ungodly values? Those are the choices. The Bible says there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And the Bible also says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. As I said, I am not an economist. But I am a Bible preacher. And the Bible speaks of liberty. And the Bible speaks of the freedom of choice. And the Bible protects the freedom of choice. When God created man, he understood the importance that each and every person would be created with the unalienable right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. And we do that by the freedom of choice. Thank God our founding fathers understood the need for the Bible and the need for our nation to be founded upon the Bible. Every election is about whether we're going to live for the truth of God or we're going to go for the ways of man. Father God, I just pray for your grace upon all of our lives and upon this nation. Oh God, as a nation, we are so far from you. Father, we have fallen so far away on both sides. And Lord, the greatest thing that can happen in this nation today is for every single person to get on their knees before a holy, righteous God and cry out for the mercy of God. Oh God, help us. Because only a fool would recognize that we don't need God's help in America today. Lord, you've given man the freedom of choice. There may be someone here today who has not yet come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it's our sincere hope that they would make the choice for Jesus Christ. They would come and they would repent of their sin and be saved and be set free from the penalty of sin. Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us today that we will exercise our freedom of choice in all things, recognizing that you gave it to us at creation and how powerful our choice can be. whether we're going to stand with God or whether we're not. That is the question. Lord, may your mercies be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.